Tēnā koutou katoa. Welcome today. Greetings to all of us who are gathered here today. Today I want to talk about prayer as we look at the book of Acts. But firstly, this is a little ornament, a display piece that my mum gave me. Thanks, mum. And it reminds me to pray. There's this person kneeling at the seat. And there's verse from Jeremiah that says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." This piece reminds me of the call that we have to pray. And that's what I want to talk about today as we look at the book of Acts, chapter 4. If you could turn there with me. In the book of Acts, we're going to look at this in three stages. The first is looking at the example of prayer in the book of Acts. Secondly, looking at the content of this prayer that was prayed by the believers in verses 23 to 31. We're going to look at the content of what they prayed. And we're also going to look at the context of why they were praying, what was happening around them, and how that may or may not relate to the situations that we are in right now. So firstly, I'd like to start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are sovereign and in control. Jesus, we thank you for your life and death and resurrection and for the new life that we have in you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence, for your power, for your comfort and your peace in all that we are going through at this time. God, would you lead us? Would we be your people who recognize this calling to prayer? And I pray that your peace would be upon us today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So looking at the book of Acts, the author Luke has a focus on prayer. We saw that in the gospel messages already. You know, in the book of Mark, we see prayer mentioned 10 times. In the book of Mark, 12 times. In the book of John, 5 times. And yet Luke emphasizes prayer in the life of Jesus 19 times. And then he continues in this message about the book of Acts, the early church. And we see prayer mentioned 32 times in the book of Acts. Something that we know about the early church is that they were a people who were committed to prayer. We saw this last week when we look at that snapshot of the church and those basic ingredients of what it means to be the people of God. And prayer is one of those strong definers of who we are as God's people. We are people of prayer. And I believe that there is a calling for us to rediscover increasingly what it means to pray in our personal relationship with God, but also intercessory for our world, our church, our nation at this time. God is calling us to be a people of prayer. We're looking at the book of Acts because we see a church that is in transition and in a time of change where circumstances around them are happening. And it gives us an insight into how the early church responded to those situations, how they stayed central to the calling of the gospel, what they did when there was external pressures, and what they did when there were internal pressures. So today we're looking at some of those external pressures of some of the persecution that was happening, beginning to happen around to them and upon them. But now we're going to look at the actual prayer, the content of the prayer. And for this section, I've drawn a structure from a message I came across by a minister named Mark Vincetti. And so I'm just using this outline. I like the way that he identified 5 different elements that we see in this prayer, which is the longest recorded prayer in the book of Acts. The first part is reverence. The second part, revelation. The third part, reality. The fourth part, request. And the fifth part, results. And so this prayer begins with a focus on God, Sovereign Lord. You made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. There is this clear recognition at the start of the prayer that God is in control, that the God who made everything still continues to be in control of the world that they live in. This is so important for us. It's a prayer that points us back to our eyes on heaven, to recognize that our God, who has the power to create the entire universe and our lives, this is the God to be worshipped and adored. This prayer begins with reverence. It doesn't start with our point of need. It starts with God. And the early church were people who focused their prayers on God and who God is and what God has done. The second part of the prayer says this: you spoke by your Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. And in these words, these simple words, you spoke, there is a sense that God is the one who reveals. This prayer is rooted in revelation of what God has already said. It refers back to the words that were written in the book of Psalms, chapter 2. And so there is a sense that these were biblical prayers, prayers that were based in God's word, prayers that were based on the understanding of what Scripture said, prayers based on not just the reverence of who God is, but the revelation of what God has said. And so this prayer continues with this quote from Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. It seems in that psalm that the people, the leadership of the world, seem to be conspiring and moving against God's will and against God's people. Now, if we go back to Psalm 2, we see the response of God, that it's almost like God laughs at their attempts, because God is the one who is in control. And we see this reflected in these verses here. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate, they met together with the Gentiles and with the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. But listen to these words: they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. So while it might seem that the leaders of the world are working against God's plans, in actual fact, what they did was according to God's power, and his will had decided already in advance what would happen, because God is sovereign and God is in control. So this prayer is based on that reality of God's sovereignty and based on what God has already revealed through his word. The third part of this prayer is embedded in reality. So there's reverence, there's revelation, there's reality. Here is where they describe the situation that they're currently facing. It says this: now, Lord, would you consider the threats that have been made against us and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness? And here's where the context of the passage fits in. This happens as the disciples, Peter and John, have been before the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders of the time. And those religious leaders have tried to silence them, tried to stifle them, tried to stop them from speaking about Jesus. And their response to those religious leaders had been this. In chapter 4, verse 19, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to listen to God? You be the judges. But as for us, we cannot help but speaking about what we have seen and we have heard. So in spite of the threats, those threats that would become a reality, those same religious leaders would later on persecute and even kill those early Christian leaders, But these disciples are saying, based on your threats, we cannot stay silent. We're not going to listen to you because we need to listen to our God. And so they continue to speak the gospel. And as they come back, there is this reality of the threats that are in front of them and the challenges that they are facing. And yet they are now praying. Hey, I just wanted to quickly interrupt this nice little message because I was wondering, and I'm wondering if you're wondering as well, about this passage and how it relates to us here in Aotearoa, New Zealand at the moment. You know, we're hearing about this church that is being silenced. We're hearing about the persecution from different leaders. And I'm wondering, is that the same as what we're experiencing with lockdown and different changes here in New Zealand at the moment? And so I decided to put on a casual t-shirt to offer some passing casual comments and personal opinions. So this is what I think. I think that there is a big difference between what the early church was experiencing and what we are facing now. You see, the first difference is that the church was being silenced because of their sharing of their belief in Jesus Christ. Now for us, there is no limitation on me. There is nothing stopping me from picking up the phone or finding a way to communicate to someone else the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. Now, sure, there is a lot of religious resistance in New Zealand. We've seen a significant change in our society away from Christian values. There are settings that are hostile to the gospel, and there is an increasing hatred towards Christians from people out in the community and also on the media. But that is different from the religious persecution that was taking place in the book of Acts. See, those people were being threatened with their life if they continued to tell people about Jesus. And that is simply not what we are experiencing here in New Zealand. So when I look at situations like lockdown, I do not see this as a political plan as much as a medical and a health situation. I do not see this as religious persecution. I see this primarily as a health and medical situation that needs managing in a particular way. And another thing that informs me when it comes to this view of the government is, like we see in the book of Acts, we see this prayer where God is able to use even the plans of people who seem to be opposed to God, and yet God is actually using them to orchestrate his plans and purposes because God is sovereign and God is in control. And so this is one of the verses that personally shapes me when it comes to these decision. It's from Romans chapter 13. There's quite a lot there, but I think it's really important, and we're just going to sit with this. Everyone must submit themselves to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. Now, this is fascinating. Paul wrote this to the church in Rome. He didn't write it to a church that had any resemblance of a Christian nation or a Christian government or a Christian political party. No, quite the opposite. The Roman Empire was known throughout history. It was an evil, corrupt empire. And yet somehow God is saying through his scripture that these leaders and these authorities have been established by God. Now, listen to these words. The authorities that exist have been established by God. And so consequently, whoever rebels against those authorities is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. And this is also why we pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their time to governing. So give everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, then pay taxes. If you owe revenue, then give revenue. If you need to give respect, then give respect. If you need to honor, then honor. So this is how I see this in relation to the book of Acts chapter 4, where we see that God is able to sovereignly weave his plan because God is in control, even through the work of leaders who are not Christian, who may even be opposed to Christianity, that God is still in control and God is sovereign. And that's my opinion about the current situation. So the fourth part of this prayer is their request. What is it that they are specifically praying for? What is the request that they are making? And this is the request. Lord, consider the threats. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Lord, would you stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus? Two parts of this request. The request that they may have the courage and boldness to continue to speak the gospel, to proclaim God's words. And secondly, that this would be followed up with signs and wonders, supernatural miracles. Both of these requests relate to the very thing that the leaders were trying to silence them on and trying to stop them to do. Both of these requests relate to the mission of God, the outward-facing mission of God. Both of these requests relate to evangelism, the prayer that these early followers of Jesus were praying in the heat of the moment and when they were under threat. Their prayer was, give us boldness and courage to proclaim the gospel, to continue to tell people the good news about who Jesus is and what he has done. This was their prayer. And I find it really interesting when we consider what other things we might have prayed for, what I might have prayed for. I might have prayed that those religious leaders would stop what they were doing. I might have prayed that the persecution would stop. I might have prayed that those leaders or the government might be overthrown and that God's people would be ruling and reigning instead. I might be praying for my own personal comfort and protection. Isn't it interesting what these disciples weren't praying for? What they were praying for was boldness and for courage to continue to proclaim God's word, to continue to proclaim who Jesus is, that their words would not be silenced in the proclaiming of the gospel, and that they would see the Holy Spirit move in power. And that's exactly what happened. So this prayer in five parts, firstly, starts in reverence of who God is. Secondly, the revelation of God's word and what God has already said. Thirdly, in the reality of what they were facing, they bring this request before God. And the fifth part is results. God moves. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. And these were ones who were already filled with the Holy Spirit earlier in the book of Acts, and yet God continues to move, continues to fill. The filling of the Holy Spirit is not a one-off event, but an ongoing relationship, an ongoing process of continuing to receive God's ongoing blessing and filling and boldness and courage for what we need to face in the moment and the days ahead that we are in. Maybe today there is a reminder for us to be people who are pursuing God's presence, praying for boldness, praying for the presence of the Holy Spirit, praying for signs and wonders. My prayer today is that we would be ones who are good listeners, listeners to what God is saying, listeners to the Holy Spirit. And our prayers today, our prayers as a nation, our prayers as a church, may they align with the things that are on God's heart. Lord, I pray that you would bless your people today. I pray that you would show us the ways that you want us to pray. I pray that you will help us to respond to the situations that are around us. Lord, would you give courage in the proclamation of your word. Lord, we look to you. Would you fill us afresh with your courage and with your boldness? In Jesus' mighty name, amen.